Beloved Osho, Tozan had a question about whether inanimate objects expound the Dharma. Tozan visited Isan, who recommended that he go to see Ungan. With Ungan, Tozan was first made aware of the truth, and he composed the following gatha to record his experience. How wonderful, the inanimate expounding the Dharma. What an ineffable truth. If you try to hear it with your ears, you will never understand it. Only when you hear it through the eye will you really know it. Ungan asked him, "Are you happy now?" Tozan answered, "I do not say that I am not happy, but my happiness is like that of someone who has picked up a bright pearl from a heap of garbage." For a while after his enlightenment, Tozan continued to travel around China. One day he arrived at Leitan and met the head monk, Chu. Chu greeted Tozan and said, "Wonderful, wonderful, the inconceivable realms of Tao and Buddha." Tozan responded, "I don't know about these realms. Who is talking of them?" Chu remained silent, and Tozan shouted, "Speak!" Chu then said, "No need to fight about it. That is the way to miss." Tozan replied, "If it has not been mentioned, how can there be fighting and missing?" Chu could make no answer to this. Tozan then said, "Buddha and Tao. Next you will talk of sutras." Chu replied, "What do the sutras say about this?" Tozan responded, "When all is understood, words are forgotten." Chu said, "This is sickness of the mind." Tozan said, "Is this sickness slight or severe?" Chu could make no reply to Tozan.
Friends, a new series begins today, the awakening of the Buddha. Before the sutras, there are few questions from the sannyasins. The first question, Gesta Itai, a formerly famous German actress, was the first Western woman who was allowed to enter in a Zen monastery in Japan and to work with an enlightened master. She wrote two books about her path and her experience of enlightenment. When I read these books, I had the impression of a very hard and lonely path. Being with you is much more joyful and playful. Would you like to say something about this difference? The traditional Zen is hard. It takes 20 to 30 years of constant meditation, withdrawing from everywhere all your energy and devoting it only to meditation. That tradition comes from Gautama Buddha himself. He has to find his enlightenment after 12 years of hard work. I am changing it completely from the traditional Zen, because I don't see that the contemporary man can devote 20 or 30 years for meditation only. If Zen remains that hard, it will disappear from the world. It has already disappeared from China. It is disappearing from Japan. It has long ago disappeared from India. It remained in India only after Gautama Buddha 500 years. In the 14th century, it reached China and remained there only for a few centuries and moved to Japan. And now it is almost extinct from both the countries, China and Japan. You will be surprised to know that my books are being taught in the Zen monasteries. Zen masters have written letters to me that perhaps now Zen will exist in India in its original place. From Japan it is disappearing. People are interested more in technology, in science. That is the situation in India too. Very few people are interested in the inner exploration. You can find here few people from every country. But these are so few compared to the 5 billion human beings on the earth, 10,000 is not any number. Zen has to be transformed in a way that the contemporary man can be interested in it. It has to be easy, relaxed. It has not to be hard. That old traditional type is no more possible. Neither it is needed. Once it has been explored, once a single man has become enlightened, the path becomes easy. You don't have to discover electricity again and again. Once discovered, you start using it. You don't have to be great scientists. The man who discovered electricity worked almost 20 years. 300 disciples started with and nobody remained because it took so long. Everybody became exhausted. But the original scientist continued his explanation to his own disciples, who was that the more we are failing in finding the root of electricity, the closer we are going to the very root. Every failure is bringing us closer to the discovery. And finally, one night in the darkness, suddenly the first electric bulb started radiating, and the joy of the man you cannot conceive, who had been working for 30 years. His silence, he was in awe. He could not believe his own eyes that after all it has happened. Electricity has been controlled. Now in our hands how to use it. His wife called him that come inside the bedroom. It is middle of the night. Put the light out. She has no awareness that it is no ordinary light. And the scientist called her that come here and first see something original. You will be the first person I am introducing to the secrets of electricity. Now you don't have to work 30 years to know about electricity. Neither you have to work 30 years for Zen experience. The awakening of the Buddha is a very easy and relaxed phenomenon. Now that so many people have awakened, the path has become clear cut. It is no more hard and arduous. You can playfully enter inside and joyously experience the awakening of awareness. It is not that far away as it was for Gautam Buddha. For Gautam Buddha it was an absolute unknown. He was searching it like a blind man, knowing nothing where he is going, but was a man of tremendous courage that 12 years he went on searching, exploring every method available to his times. All the teachers who were talking about philosophy and yoga, he went from one teacher to another, and every teacher finally said to him that I can tell you only this much, more than this I don't know myself. Finally, he remained alone. And he dropped all yoga disciplines. He has his own 5 disciples who thought that he is a great ascetic. But when they saw that he has dropped all yoga discipline and he is no more fasting, they dropped him. All those five disciples left him, that he has fallen from his greatness. He is no more a saint. He has become ordinary. But in that ordinariness, when he has dropped everything, just being tired and exhausted, that full moon night, when the five disciples left him, he slept under the Bodhi tree, completely free from this world and completely free from the very search of that world. For the first time he was utterly relaxed. No desire to find anything, no desire to become anything. And in that moment of non-desiring, he suddenly awakened and became a Buddha. The Buddhahood came to him in a relaxed state. You don't have to work 12 years. You can just start from the relaxed state. It was the last point in Gautam Buddha's journey. It can be the first point in your journey. And the first thing Gautam Buddha did after he became awakened, he went in search for those five disciples to share what has happened to him. And when he reached to those five disciples, they saw him coming. It is a very beautiful story. They decided that Gautama is coming, but we are not going to pay any respect to him. He has stopped being a holy man. He has started living a relaxed and comfortable life. But as Buddha came closer, all the five disciples stood up, although they had decided not to pay any respect. But in spite of their decision, they could see that Gautama has changed completely. It is no more the same person we used to know. He is coming with such a silence, with such contentment. It seems he has found it. And they all touched Gautam Buddha's feet, and Gautam Buddha's first statement to them was, when you have decided not to pay attention to me, why you are paying such respect? All those five asked to be forgiven. They said, we were thinking you are the same old Gautama. We used to know you for 5 years. We have been together, but you are not the same person anymore. Enlightenment is such a transformation that you are a totally different person. The old person dies away, and a totally new awareness, a fresh bliss, a flowering a spring which has never been there. It took 12 years for Gautam Buddha. It need not take even 12 minutes for you. It is simply an art to relax into yourself. In the traditional Zen, they are still doing whatever Buddha did in his ignorance. And finally they drop it. And I am telling you, why not drop it right now? You can relax this very moment. And in that relaxation, you will find the light, the awareness, the awakening. What has happened to Gesta Itai is not necessarily an introduction to Zen. She has been in the company of old traditional Zen masters. I understand Zen to be a very simple, innocent, joyful method. There is nothing ascetic in it, nothing life negative, no need to renounce the world, no need to become a monk, no need to enter a monastery. You have to enter into yourself. That can be done anywhere. We are doing it in the simplest way possible. And only if Zen becomes as simple as I am trying, the contemporary man can be interested in it. Otherwise, he has so much to do, so many things to do, so many paths to explore, so many attractions to distract him. Zen has to become such a small, playful thing that while you are going to sleep, just before that, within 5 minutes you can enter into yourself and you can remain at the very center of your being the whole night. Your whole night can become a peaceful, silent awareness. The sleep will be in the body, but there will be underneath it a current of light from the evening till the morning. And once you know that even in sleep, a certain awareness can be present inside you, then in the whole day, doing all kinds of things, you can remain alert, conscious. Buddhahood has to be a very normal, ordinary, simple, and human affair. The second question, I cannot put it into words how much I am always touched by the beauty of your expressions, in your words, your gestures, and now especially in your paintings. what exactly happens when you are sitting in front of an empty paper? Is there still an urge for artistic creativity when one is enlightened? Could you please tell us about Zen and art and creativity? Zen prevents you from nothing. It opens everything that is potential in you. If you have a potentiality of being a painter, Zen will open it. You may not have been aware of it. If there is a potentiality for poetry, Zen will open that potentiality, and for the first time you will start thinking in poetry, not in prose. The same is true about music or dance or scientific exploration. Any kind of original experiences, Zen allows you. It is not preventive of anything. It is affirmative. The most affirmative experience in life, it simply makes you aware of all that is hidden in you, of all that you have never looked at. It not only makes you aware, it helps you to explore that potentiality. Zen is not a dry, desert-like experience. It is very juicy, a beautiful garden, a spring in your life, where flowers suddenly start opening up. One never knows what is going to happen to him when he becomes aware. It is not a decision on your part. It is not a choice. It is a choiceless, simple experience. You start moving into a certain direction. Suddenly that direction becomes so full of life, so attractive, that you can devote everything to it. Zen is a very creative experience. It is not like other religions. All the religions are non-creative. In fact, the so-called saints don't do anything. They are not great poets. They are not great dancers. They are not great musicians. But the real and authentic saints, which are very few among the so-called saints, just the other day I received the information that this Pope, in his 4 years has made more than 2,000 people saints. It is a certificate. He goes on giving certificates to all kinds of people who can donate money. Now, the Catholic Pope owns the biggest bank in the world, the Bank of America. The Catholic Church owns the greatest land in the world than any other country. The method in the past has been war, killing people. Thousands of people have been killed just to take over possession of their properties, or they have been forced to become Catholics. A single Catholic king, Constantine, killed 10,000 people in a single day. Just called an assembly of all those who were not Catholics in a great auditorium in Rome and ordered the army to shoot everybody. We don't want anybody else than Christians in Rome. He forced the whole Italy to become Christian. Just under the gun. And the whole history of Christianity is of wars and nothing else, killing and violence. And the same is true about other religions in a lesser measure. They are destructive. They are destructive in many ways. They destroy people by creating guilt, by making them sinners, by forcing them to renounce the world and all that is pleasant, and to go into hardships unnecessarily. But those who go into hardships are respected, and their hardship has nothing to contribute to the world, only sickness, only guilt. All your saints are together enforcing guilt in you. So in this way they destroy humanity, and in other ways they kill people because they don't belong to their fold. They force people either by sword or by bread. In the past they used to come with a sword, now they come with a bread. The poor have been always vulnerable to be converted, either by force or by bribery. But this is not religiousness at all. This is pure politics.
Zen is an authentic religious experience. Its authenticity is in its openings of creativeness in human beings. Zen masters have never killed anyone. They have not forced anyone to their path. On the contrary, you have to go to them. And it has been very difficult to be accepted. The masters has been very choosy. Unless you sow an immense desire and longing, they will not initiate you. The question of conversion does not arise. You have to go to the well does not come to you. The well does not even invite you. It is simply there, available. The third question, when energy goes inward, it turns into thoughts, feelings, emotions, and when energy goes outward, it turns into relationships with beings and nature. But when energy does not move inward or outward, it is just there pulsating, vibrating, then it is one with the existence, one with the whole. Is this Zazen? Exactly. When the energy is just there, neither going anywhere, just pulsating at the original source, just radiating there its light, blossoming like a lotus, neither going out nor going in. It is simply here and now. When I say go inward, I am simply saying don't go on moving in the head. The whole society forces your energy to move in the head. The whole education consists of basic technique how to pulsate the energy only in the head, how to make you a great mathematician, how to make you a great physician. But all education in the world consists of taking the energy into the head. Zen has to ask you to come out of the head to the basic source from where the educational system around the world has been taking the energy into the head and turning it into thoughts, images, creating thinking. It has its uses. It is not that Zen is not aware of the uses of energy in the head, but If the whole energy is used in the head, you will never become aware of your eternity. You may become a very great thinker and philosopher, but you will never know as an experience what is life. You will never know as an experience what it is to be one with the whole. When the energy is just at the center pulsating, not moving anywhere, neither in the head nor in the heart, but at the very source from where the heart takes it, the head takes it, pulsating at the very source, that is the very meaning of Zazen. Zazen means just sitting at the very source, not moving anywhere. A tremendous force arises, a transformation of energy into light and love, into greater life, into compassion, into creativity. It can take many forms, but first you have to learn how to be at the source. Then the source will decide where is your potential. You can relax at the source and it will take you to your very potential. It does not mean that you have to stop thinking forever. It simply means you should be aware and alert and capable of moving into the source, and when you need the head, you can move the energy into the head. When you need to love, you can move the energy into the heart. But you need not think 24 hours. When you are not thinking, you have to relax back into your center. That keeps the Zen man constantly content, alert, joyful. A blissfulness surrounds him. It is not an act, it is simply radiation. Zazen is the strategy of Zen. Literally, it means just sitting. Sitting where? Sitting at the very source. And once in a while, if you go on sitting in the source, you can manage all mental activities. Without any disturbance, you can manage all heart activities without any difficulty. And still, whenever you have time, you need not unnecessarily think, you need not unnecessarily feel, you can just be. Just being is Zazen. And if you can just be only for few minutes in 24 hours, that is enough to keep you alert of your Buddhahood.
before the sutras, a little biographical note. Tozan Ryokai, a disciple of Ungan, was born in China in 807 and died in 869. He originally was a member of the Vinaya sect, but later became interested in Zen and set out a journey to find a master. Vinaya sect is the Buddhist name of the people who are interested philosophically, scholarly, in the scriptures, in the words of the masters. They are mentally active, but they are not moving into experience themselves. They gather as much knowledge as possible. They become very much wise. They know all the answers that are in the sutras, but they don't have a single experience of their own. Tozan was first a scholar studying all the literature, and Buddhism has the greatest literature in the world compared to any religion. It has more scriptures. Just as Gautam Buddha died, his disciples became separated into 32 branches, and immediately 32 branches of scholarship of different scriptures and sutras, pretending to be authentic, pretending to be that they are the only true ones. The problem was that 42 years Gautam Buddha was teaching, morning and evening. Few people have heard few things, few people heard few other things. In 42 years he was constantly moving from one place to another place. Obviously, there were different people who had heard different things from him, and they compiled sutras. Immediately 32 branches started. Gautam Buddha has not written a single word, and every branch pretends to be the authentic one. That this is what Buddha has said. It is very difficult now to find out what actually was said by Gautam Buddha and what was added by the disciples. So there is a great scholarship in the Buddhist world where people search into scriptures trying to find what is authentic and what is not. Just recently, the same kind of scholarship has started in Europe. The professors and the very scholarly Christians have made
a special committee, biblical scholars, and they are now searching what is exactly said by Jesus and what is added by others, and what is fiction, what is myth, what is truth. Just the few days before, Pope the Pulak has declared to all the Catholics of the world that don't listen to the biblical scholars, because the biblical scholars are taking out many things which have been added to the Bible, which have been not true. Events, miracles, virgin birth, resurrection, the biblical scholars are taking all those things out. They are agreed. It is the most scholarly group in Europe about the Bible. They meet every few months and they discuss papers. And if you listen to them, almost 90% Bible disappears. And they are absolutely right. Because for the first time, they are searching in the roots from where this saying, this statement, this gospel has come. Few are found to be in the ancient scriptures of the pagans. Those scriptures have been destroyed so that nobody can find out that Jesus has never said that. Even the idea of virgin birth is more ancient than Jesus. It was a pagan god, a Roman god, who was thought to be born from a virgin. And to the same god, the crucifixion. And to the same god is connected the idea of resurrection. And all that has been taken and compiled into the Bible. Pagans have been destroyed, their temples have been burned, their scriptures have been destroyed. Now these biblical scholars are trying to find ways and methods how to discover in the contemporary literature, while Jesus was alive, one of the Gospels was written in India, the fifth Gospel of Thomas, which has not been compiled in the Bible. For the simple reason that it was not available to Constantine, who was compiling and who was deciding what has to be included and what has not to be included. It was because of him all these ideas and mythologies and fictions have been added into the life of Jesus. The same is true about Buddhist literature. Much is borrowed from Hindu literature, much is borrowed from Jaina literature, because these were all contemporaries and few contemporaries of Buddha. Have left no literature behind, but they were also teaching in the same places where Buddha was teaching. So much of their teachings have been compiled and mixed with Gautama Buddha, a very scholarly tradition exists in Zen to find out the original Buddha. But even if you can find what is the original statement and what is not, that does not mean you can become enlightened. You may know exactly what Buddha said, that will not make any difference into your consciousness. Tozan was first a scholar, and finding that however you go on knowing and finding the original sources, you still remain ignorant. You become a great knower, but deep down you know nothing about yourself. And the question is not to know what Buddha said, the question is to know your own inner Buddha, your own inner consciousness. After being in the scholarly Vinaya sect, he became interested in Zen.